organization in Vancouver called SEARCH. It's the Society for the Education, Action, and Research and Counseling on Homosexuality.
Jeez.
Wow. Yeah, it's a mouthful, isn't it? Yeah. But we started it in about, I think it was 1977, and it was just basically for people to get together and just have a social environment outside of bars. Like, there were a lot of people that just, they didn't want to have to go to a bar to meet a friend. We would get together at someone's house, drink coffee or tea, and just talk. And talk about subjects that were important to us. Whether you had a desire to be a parent, the different ways you could become a parent. And we had a list of several different organizations and places that you could go for information on everything from parenting to sexually transmitted diseases, you know, and things like that. And it was really a great time in my life because I met so many people of such a diverse I met people. I don't know if Halifax has ever had anything along the lines of an emperor or empress.
It was later named the Imperial Sovereign Court of Nova Scotia, ISKCON.
I threw that imperial in there. Good. A very good friend of mine from way back then was considered the first Empress of Canada.
Aww.
And she was also one of the founding members of SEARCH. And it was a great organization. Unfortunately, it's no longer around. You know, people just lost interest or nobody really cared to keep it going. But it was a great time in my life. And it sounds like it's very much like elderberries. I've always been interested since I came to Halifax. I've heard of elderberries, and it interests me for sure.
Was SEARCH mostly men or mostly women?
It was mostly men.
Yeah, it was in Fredericton. It was mostly men.
Yeah, it always is. Women just have a hard time getting involved in things like this. I don't understand why.
Well, I was talking to Allison about earlier, in the 1970s, we talked about how dangerous it was to be out of the closet as a homosexual in the 1970s. And they say, oh, well, it could have been dangerous for men. They could have gotten beat up, could have gotten put in jail. But if you were a woman with kids in the 1970s and you came out as lesbian, your kids would be taken away from you, which is way more traumatic than being beaten up and put in jail. Way, way, way more. And so there was a really good reason for women to be extremely discreet.
Do you know Friends for Life in Vancouver?
I've heard of them. Yeah.
Okay, because that was also a grassroots group that was started during the crisis.
Not good.
I worked there.
That was
sounds like very much like around the same time.
And because Vancouver is such a big city, there is so much there. Yeah. Like, there's a couple of men, one has passed away now, unfortunately, that opened up a restaurant called the Elbow Room. And that restaurant would charge you money if you did not finish your meal. And that money went to make meals for people living with HIV and AIDS. It was wonderful. Yeah. We used to go there just so that we could not finish our meal. You know, charge me 50 cents for not finishing my meal. I'm good with that.
It's such a supportive community, too, because Friends for Life was a place for people with... It turned into people with terminal illness. But it was people affected by HIV and AIDS, and they changed it from terminal illness to chronic illness to, I don't know where they have it now. But there were so many community partners that were just so happy to help out, and it was so involved. It was really nice.
Yeah.
There's goals a lot of communities a lot of cities can try to be as friendly as they are.
Mm-hmm. So, sorry, what's your name?
Janice.
So, Janice, how are you involved with Search? Or were you a member?
I one of the I guess you could say a founding member. I was one of the original members. I think it was 1977. There was just a group of us that got together one night after the bar closed. We were sitting in a restaurant saying, wouldn't it be nice to have some place that we could go where we could just, you know,
relax, talk.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, like, you can't go into a bar and talk. It's too loud. We wanted to talk about important issues, you know, discrimination, sexually transmitted diseases, you know, how to come out to our parents and friends. There were just so many things that we all struggled with. And, so it was kind of nice to have a peer support group that
that's very cool. Help. There was, at the same time in Halifax, there was a social group, a very similar one to the Elderberries. It's called the Over 30s group. But we didn't have, it was not a discussion group at all. It was social.
Yeah, we have another group in Vancouver called MOB. It stands for Menopausal Old Bitches. And it was it was an all lesbian group called Menopausal Old Bitches.
And in Halifax, for a long time, we had an all women's group called the Owls. Older, wiser lesbians.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're still going, I think.
No, I just heard that they are no longer going.
Oh, that's so unfortunate.
I'm getting one final message to them, inviting them to join.
Yeah. When I was still in Vancouver about 5 years ago, I was on a website that was OWL.
Oh, yeah.
I saw something about OWL, older, wiser lesbians.
The ones in Halifax never did any publicity at all. You had to know someone who knew someone in order to be a member. So I would be very surprised if it was the same OWLs. You guys keep talking.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, we're all getting older. And they met, I think it was that group that met, they meet, I think, once a month for lunch, but I think it was like Futurians, or I don't know, I get nervous if I do Futurians, so I never went, because after lots of reasons I have to go, didn't exist anymore. I'm wondering why I'm not getting emails from them now.
A few months back, she asked me questions about the nursing home because she said that we heard that if you were homosexual, the nursing home wouldn't take you, but they can't do that. That comes under our charter of rights. That's our private life, you know, and our personal life. But anyway, so he was fine. As in that case, I wouldn't have been working in many nursing homes. I'm going to one eventually, but. I mean, with the price of everything, you know, so. And the government now is helping, so that's one good thing, you know.
We had in Fredericton, we didn't ever have a bar. Flag organized dances, and we'd get a liquor license. I don't know what I think about it now. We wouldn't put, when we applied for the liquor license, we wouldn't put it in our name. We had another name. And then we wouldn't tell that often, we wouldn't tell where we were having the dance, who we were.
Yeah, they did that one.
But you know, twice we went to St. Vincent's Catholic Church, their rec center, before they caught us. So, third time they locked the doors and wouldn't let us in. But we had two really fun dances there.
London was pretty good. Now, London, so far as I know, they still have 5 gay clubs. We had a lot of nice gay clubs here now, actually. We have rumors now, but.
Stardust Lands, yes.
Yep. With the Cosmopolitan Club in Fredericton, which is a straight bar.
They used to be on Gotten Street, Rumors, when they first opened.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah, and so there's now a new gay bar open that opened last spring. Yeah. They reused the name.
Okay, is it the same?
Rumors, yeah.
No. Well, the old Rumors used to be owned by the community, which was very cool because when you bought a drink, you bought a drink for $5.
Yeah.
$1 of that went to pay for the alcohol. The other $4 went to pay for our building and our staff projects that we were doing. That made, this is why Halifax punched above its weight in activism, because we have, for decades, we had all this extra money just hemorrhaging out of this bar.
Why did Reflections close? The building was sold.
The building was sold, and it was an old, it was 30 years old at that point.
It went to a smaller place, but
yeah,
the new crew of the staff or bar mates that worked there. Yeah. Reflections was good. Because I went to all of them. It's a shame, you know.
So what do you, do you remember about Rumors?
No, it used to be Klein. No. It was a used to be a another restaurant called Keller's or something like
that. There was a vegetarian restaurant there called... I can't remember. On the very top floor of of the turret building there.
Yeah, but my mother, they used to have a bingo hall there. Hey, my mom used to go play bingo before it was Rumors. Yeah. Is that the one on, I know it's on Gottingen and where the old bank used to be, of course?
No, Rumors, where the TV.
Do you remember there used to be two cinemas side by side?
The casino
and
the casino Vogue.
The Vogue,
that's right. Yeah. And then the Vogue in the 1970s got made into a straight porn cinema.
Yeah.
And then it got made, and then Wormwood's Dog and Monkey Cinema bought it and ran it as a cinema for a while. Uh-huh. And then some young people, teenagers, bought the building, believe it or not, somehow, and made it into an all ages, that means no alcohol, dance club.
Yeah.
And then we bought it from them because it was all set up ready to be a bar, really a bar.
Yeah. No, there was a toolbox.
Toolbox was on. Yep.
Now.
Yeah, we took over a kid's bar in Fredericton. There was this bar was supposed to be video games and all that kind of stuff, and it was set up just like a bar.
That was
but it didn't. I think it lasted all that long, but they. The building stayed there, and we would rent it for dances.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. Wow.
Can I write this stuff down? Because I don't remember the name of it now.
In Fredericton?
Yeah, I can't remember the name of that place.
Yes, Francis Young, you might remember.
Yeah, Francis Young. That's right, too.
Even before the gay bar, so we used to go to, like, you come to my house, where we would have a party each weekend, so that's how we communicate, you know.
Yeah.
Did that in Ottawa, sort of lived in Ottawa. And it was quite interesting, you know. Because you get tired, you might stand at the bar waiting, people waiting on you, know, for a little bit. We'd help clean up and everything. But I enjoyed it, you know, because you were together, you know, like you were saying, well, you know. But you go to the bar, you can't hear, you're screaming, and they're saying, well, you're screaming, you're going to be barred, you know, what are you supposed to do, you know. But, you know, I felt more relaxed and more comfortable, you know.
But there was that real need to be, I guess, with their own kind. Mm-hmm. Like, it just wasn't...
very much.
It wasn't the same just to go to a bar with other young people. So, I was starting to say about the Cosmopolitan Club in Fredericton.
There was a few restaurants here in Halifax that were very... They discriminated against us.
Seahorse Tavern.
They were always very good to the gay people.
Remember Thackeray's at one point?
Oh my God, Thackeray's is so good.
There's very good reason for us to want our own space because of things like that. And then the jury room.
What about the one on Gottingen? The local.
Name a few more.
The local. Is owned by Vic Siparek, who is one of the most non-homophobic people you will ever meet. And so there's now an all-men's group that meets there. We've moved.
Every first Friday.
First Friday, that's right. It used to be called the First Friday Fae, meaning fairies. First Friday Fairies.
Yeah, I used to go
but
to it.
They have all moved down to the new gay bar called Rumors. The new... Gay bar.
There's another one too on Barrington and Prince.
Stardust, that's right.
Is it open?
Oh yes. Yeah. A really quite good food. It's more of a restaurant than it is a bar.
There's another country western bar behind, right next to Shoppers, which before long girls will be there.
Yeah.
But you know, here too, and it doesn't. This is where we all come to join. But there are a few people here.
Do you still go on the Bear Walks?
Oh, yeah. You should join us sometime.
Bear I walks. Go every once in a while.
Bear Walks are every, Saturday at 1 o'clock. Yep. And so unless something catastrophic happens, the Bear Walks always happen. And what they've done now is now started going to going for snacks together later at Rumors. No Rumors now.
Oh.
But I always take my dog, and so it doesn't work to have a dog go out on a walk and then go somewhere else. You have to go home after that. Yeah. So I was going to ask people as a discussion topic to around the table share a story from when you were a teenager or when you were a young person of remembering the old queer person in Halifax. All right, sorry. Remember the old queer person in your community that your parents told you about or your students told you about and what you heard and what you thought of that. This is a story topic. This is not a story topic that I trot out at every event. This is the first time I've ever asked anyone to do this, so I have no idea how it's going to work. Do you want to start?
The only one I can remember is Miss Vicky.
Okay. So that means you grew up in Halifax. Where did you live?
Down by the Halifax Shopping Center.
Okay. And how do you think you heard about Miss Vicky?
Oh God, I heard about Miss Vicky through my ex.
Okay. Who was who hung around in the drag community?
Kinda.
Okay. There's certainly lots of ways you could hear about Miss Vicky. She was a star drag queen. Is a star drag queen. Although just recently had her official retirement party, but we all know what that means. An excuse to have a party.
Like Cher.
Exactly like Cher. And she has raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for a couple of charities. And so she would very regularly, like once a month, have a show in which all the door went to a charity. So, Miss Vicky, do you remember what it was that you heard about her? It's not too salacious.
I've heard lots. No, I remember her at Reflections. She was one of the shooter girls.
That's right, yeah. Did an excellent job.
What's a shooter girl?
She used to go around selling shooters to people.
Oh, okay.
She did very well, and someone reported her.
Who is it? This is Miss Vicky was doing this. Yeah.
Wait, yeah. So someone reported her? This wasn't legal?
I didn't know that part. But.
You couldn't go around selling shots?
No. She was on social assistance and someone reported her.
Oh, I see.
She's making extra money. So it's all expenses. But she came to me, so I got it all straightened and I knew the person that did it. And I went and said, listen, you didn't mind buying the booze from her. Now get off his back, you know.
No, yeah,
right, because the only people who would know about that were people who were at the gay bar at the time.
But Bruce or Vicky, she was a very kind of person.
Still is.
I used to have her on Facebook, but I don't know if I still do.
Still living down on Barron Street?
She's living closer to Barron. Well. You know where Brunswick Towers are?
Yeah, she's down.
Just north of Brunswick Towers, yeah, in the townhouse there. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Janice, when you were a kid?
You know, I don't think I was ever warned about someone or given any insight into any certain person. When I was a teenager, I looked a lot older than what I was. I was getting into gay bars by the time I was 17. I was working in a gay bar by the time I was 19.
Wow.
So I met so many. I'm going to call them drag queens, yeah, because at the time that's what they were. Some are still considered drag queens. Some are now, as I now understand, now transgender.
Mm-hmm.
My best friend was transgender. Way back then, she was considered a drag queen. But it was...
But other drag queens who weren't transgender.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I know many that still consider themselves to be drag queens.
Yeah.
You know, and they just love performing, plain and simple. One of the ones that I first met was very well known across most of Canada. I don't know about way out this way, but her name was Sandy St. Peters, and she was absolutely stunningly beautiful. Absolutely one of the most beautiful drag queens you've ever laid eyes on. And she had a bit of a reputation for being a bit violent with her boyfriend, shall we say. Yeah, she used to like slapping her men around. I don't know why, but the Sandy St. Peters that I knew was lovely. She was a immaculate performer, and she was just a lovely person who would help anybody that needed it. Because I was so young when I first came out and started going to clubs, my mother was not too terribly pleased about it, so I became a runaway. I was living on the streets with a couple of friends. Sandy St. Peters and her...
In Vancouver.
Oh. Sandy St. Peters and her... I'm going to call him husband at the time. Basically fed my best friend and myself for probably a year.
Wow.
In a kind of roundabout way. I'm not going to get into it, but they basically took care of us for almost a year. And, yeah, so Sandy St. Peters is the one that I think about the most. She had a reputation that I never saw. I heard about it, but all I know is the good things that I witnessed. So, yeah.
Very sweet. Wow.
Yeah, she was lovely. And I swear to God, she was the prettiest drag queen you've ever laid eyes on. She looked a lot like Marilyn Monroe. She acted a lot like Marilyn Monroe. But yeah, she was lovely.
Pretty cool, thank you.
But living on the streets of Vancouver, no, it wasn't great. You know, and I had so many experiences that were really quite unpleasant. Vancouver has a huge park called Stanley Park, and it juts out into the ocean, and there's a beautiful walkway all the way around it, and we used to love walking the Stanley Park seawall. One night after the bar closed, three friends and I were walking that seawall. We were just about at the end of it, and we were approached by a police car with two police officers in it. They gave us such a rough time because a couple of the guys that I was with were effeminate. And we were given a real rough time and told to get out of the park because it was for citizens only. We didn't belong there. We had no right to be there. You know, so being out in the gay community in the late 70s, no, it was not always a happy situation.
This is a bit off topic, but I was not arrested. I was detained by the police and spent a night in jail in 1981 or 82, coming out of a Carol Pope concert.
Oh, and, oh my God.
What was it called? The Moonlight, whatever.
Wow.
And...
Misty Moon,
yes. And I was sober. We'd driven there, and my then partner was a little in her cup, so I drove. And we went after the bar was closed. We could get in for free, and we had tickets for the following night, but we went that night. And when we came out, we were in such a good mood, and holding hands, and
well, yeah, you saw Carol Pope.
I got in the car on the driver's side, and suddenly the car was surrounded by four police officers.
Yeah, and really?
Yeah, and I was thinking, so she's been drinking, and so they take me off in the police car, kicking and screaming, and they threw the keys in the car and said, I can pick her up at the station in the morning.
Wow.
And so I give the car keys to this woman who, well, she wasn't drunk, but, you know, I would say impaired. And
did you know Carol Anderson?
Yeah, you know. No, I didn't. No more than everyone else in
my life.
Very much so.
Yeah. It's not so bad. But
if you have a story to tell about Harold, get a hold of me.
But, you know, that doesn't surprise me at all, because many friends of mine have similar situations. I was kicked off a train once. I was on a train going from Vancouver to Seattle. We were going to the Empress Ball in Seattle, and my two friends, gay men that were quite effeminate, we were hassled by.
When I asked why I had been detained, they said, actually, two officers, this is a misdemeanor. This is like all these drunken people are pouring into the street getting in their cars. Two officers and me. I would say, like, what is this? And I said, look, we're real sore, man, but you walked in front of the sergeant's car. And I couldn't figure that out for a while, because, you know, we didn't walk around holding hands normally, but it was just, you know, it was just such a light and gay evening. Seemed like we needed to do.
Brittany, tell us a story about a homosexual that you heard about when you were a teenager or a little girl.
So there's one couple in my community, small community in Newfoundland.
Where is this?
Newfoundland, okay, Clare, awesome. Newfoundland. And it was, one was a teacher and one was a nurse. And they were both women. And I believe that they're married now, I'm not quite sure. But I remember being terrified because, I just heard all these things. And I had an older brother, so they all had their things. But when I got to high school, and lots of words that they like to call her. Yeah. They were not very nice, and I remember when I went to high school and I met her for the first time, it was kind of like, okay, this is not at all what I expected, and at this point I seem to
be... Oh, yeah, that's that alert.
Oh, what's the alert this time? Okay. Oh, it's just a test.
Oh, it's a regular, it's a test.
No alert,
I just remember that I was put into a class with her, and she was... very gentle, and she was very soft spoken.
One of the members of the couple?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So
she was a teacher.
So it was a lesbian couple?
Yes.
Oh.
She was a teacher at the high school, and her wife was a nurse at the hospital.
Okay.
And it was a very small town, 6,000 people, so everyone had to take her at some point.
Not the gym teacher?
So I believe the gym teacher, who was her partner, now looking back, there's a whole bunch that I'm like, oh, yeah.
I was going to say, because gym teacher is kind of stereotypical lesbian.
And she was also, but she was just so gentle and everything, and everything that people told me, it was like, oh, she's dirty, she's this, she's not a football team, she's not hockey, and like, I don't even think she played sports, so I don't really know, I don't remember anything.
Girls weren't allowed then, so like at all.
But it was so the opposite of her. She was a very, very mild-mannered person, and it was so much the opposite of everything that people said about her, and I just remember being like, oh, Jesus, this woman's been given a hard time. Like, she didn't do anything wrong to anyone, but there were many people that... Well, my mother had a friend who, she doesn't like going out with people. She doesn't like dating. She's not a dater. She doesn't like to have boyfriends. She doesn't really have boyfriends. And everybody loved her, but no one was willing to say out loud what it was. And now she is, she's a senior, and I wonder if she ever came out to anyone. Because it's so obvious. Everyone, it was one of those things, and I said it to Mom one time, and she said, well, she never said it. She never said it. No one ever heard her say it. And I was like, did you ever ask her? Did you ever let her know it's a safe space to say it? And she said, no, we just always ignored it.
Yeah.
And that was the way it was. It was just, and like the gym teacher was another one that I've asked. I'm like, Mom, have you ever heard that they came out? And no, she's never heard anything, but we just don't talk about it. No one talks about it for you. Don't talk about those things. There were quite a few.
Yeah. That's I met my gym teacher in a gay club many years ago. I looked at her and I went, And then, surprisingly, her name is Janice as well. And I said, excuse me, is your name Janice Robinson? And she went, yes. And I said, yeah, I remember you.
I was pretty brave because that was years ago, and I just remember that people used to talk about this couple. Oh, and I also had her as a nurse one time. I really hurt my back, and they told me that if I were to get a painkiller, that this lesbian nurse, this is what they told me in the hospital, that, oh, well, this is who's going to give you a painkiller, and it's going to be a shot, and it's going to be in the bone. And I was like, okay. And I just remember she knew that they said that, and I just remember the two of us in that moment feeling so humiliated for each other.
Wait, now I'm confused. Gym teacher and nurse?
So her sister was a gym teacher who, I believe, as far as I know, never married. She just doesn't date men.
Just trying to get it straight.
So her wife was the nurse. The teacher's wife was the nurse. This was a social studies teacher.
Oh.
And her wife was a nurse, and I went to the hospital when I was a teenager after hurting my back, and they told me to get a painkiller. The only way to prove that I wasn't thinking it, they said, well, she's going to come in, and she's going to be the nurse, and she's going to give you a needle in your bum, so do you still want it? And I just...
Oh, my God.
And I just remember she came in, and my mother was there, and my mother was humiliated, and I was... We were just... Everyone in the room, we just kind of, like, stared at each other, and it was like, okay, well, you do, obviously. She believed me. I did not see that she was the nurse giving me a needle in my bum. But that was what the doctor said, that if I wanted to get one, that's how I was going to do it. And that was his way of testing if
Talk
I was
about
it.
Deeply entrenched homophobia.
No kidding. Mm-hmm.
And
like, it doesn't get much more than that, than a doctor warning you about a lesbian nurse
and it's like
giving you an injection.
Yeah. She was clearly not supposed to be the one who was assigned to me to do that, but they took her out of whatever she was doing to come in to prove that this teenager.
But can you imagine that if you as a little kid knew you were a lesbian at the time, a teenager at the time, mm-hmm. how much that shame would have gotten pushed onto you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my best friend at the time was a lesbian, and we all knew this, and she was around this exact same time. Her father had kicked her out of her home. She had to come live with us. And it was one of those things that was like, really, really, right now we're getting it from all ends. It's just coming from all ends. You really have to support this. So that was one of my biggest memories of just feeling so terrible for that couple.
Absolutely.
That is awesome. Thank you. I can't remember your name.
Allie?
Yeah. We're telling stories.
Yes.
About the homosexual in your hometown that you heard about when you were a teenager or a little kid.
Mine was Miss Vicky.
Miss Vicky.
Miss Vicky here in Halifax. A drag queen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And now elderly drag queen.
But still fabulous.
Still in the air, still fabulous.
Yeah, that's right.
You can think about it.
I'm going to have to, yeah.
Allison, do you remember?
I'm not from Newfoundland, but I did go to Prince Wales Collegiate, and my gym teacher told me I was acting up.
There we go with the gym teacher.
I discovered this thing. If I whipped it up enough, I could get it to land on the rafter. I was really good at that. So she told me one day, because we're supposed to do it, she said if I didn't start acting more ladylike, I was never going to get a husband.
And see, you never did get a husband, did you?
Thankfully, she was right.
Yeah.
But again, when I was saying
either with the ladylike part or the husband part. Although you could be ladylike if you wanted to.
That is, I could, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would work on that.
I choose not to be.
But I remember, lesbians hadn't been invented, except there were, this was again in St. John's, it's sort of my earliest memory of hearing the word lesbian, and there were these two women, there were a bunch of young people hanging around, there's a writer that Norm Norwood, remember how old, but
Harold
Horwood.
Harold?
Foxes, Beachy Cove, he wrote a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
Actually, to put it in context, I'm 70. I just turned 70 this summer. So, just to put it in sort of historical context. So this would have been in later 60s.
I believe I know who you're talking about. I never read any of the books, but our high school was supposed to be named after him.
A free school downtown called Animal Farm. Anyway, it was amazing. And all these young people hung around him. And there were these two couples, two like boy-girl couples, and there was a rumor that two of the women in those couples were lesbians. And I was just like, oh my God, is that a thing? It just seems so exciting. And that was my first sort of, the first time I ever heard of lesbians, because Fredericton was full of queers. And there were all these detestable men, probably pedophiles. You know, they all got together and did terrible things. And I think about them now. But they were definitely... That's why the word queer still just makes my skin crawl.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not queer. I'm not queer.
I'll never stop hating that word.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm. So many people from our community use that word. And they're comfortable with it. I don't like it.
There's very much an age to that word.
It's also male. Like I remember being called gay because it was about men. I wanted a label. I wanted to be a lesbian. It was so hard to say it for so long that once I got a hold of it, it was like, yeah, that's what I am. And then all of a sudden, people say, are you gay? I said, no, I'm a lesbian. And now with this queer thing, it's like, and queer's everyone.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, if you, you know, just wake up in the morning, you're queer. So I really like that special identity. Uh-huh. And
absolutely.
So when I was growing up, my family had what turned out to be a big community of friends of lesbians, but the L word never came out. They were old maids.
Yes.
That was the word. And everybody understood that old maid meant someone who, women who preferred the company of other women, and were never ever going to be married.
Oh, interesting. But just to be clear, preferred the company of. That's as far as it went.
I was a little kid. I was 4, 5, 6 years old. My dad was a handyman for this community of
old maids.
They
weren't handy themselves?
Not because they were women, but
there's
because
no
they were...
To help, apparently, right?
Not because they were women.
There's no man around to help.
So. No, not at all. Not because they were women, but because they were rich summer people who had help for all of that.
Oh, okay. Understand now.
So my dad was the help, and my dad was a handyman, so he could do a little bit of carpentry, all plumbing, and all electrical. So pretty handy. I inherited all of that. But he would bring me along on jobs, even when I was 4 or 5 years old. That's how I got to be handy. And they really liked me. And so they would invite us back, and they kind of took charge of my cultural education. And they were all writers and artists and book publishers and researchers and, like, hardcore academics. And, I mean, I didn't have any appreciation for that at the time. All I knew was that Aunt Mimi and Aunt Tessa and Aunt Marion and Aunt Maria and their friends all liked having me around. And when we were around, we learned about Greek mythology and a history of art and words and myth and all kinds of stuff. And the idea that they were lesbians or anything like that never entered my mind. They were just all my aunts. They were my aunts that I would go out and visit. I lived all off in a little community by themselves. And that was just normal. And then when I was 18, I was planning a trip to New York. And my mom says, well, when you're going to New York, because they all lived in New York in the wintertime. They were summer people in my community. Lived in New York in the wintertime. My mom said, well, if you're going to New York, you have to visit Aunt Mamie and Aunt Tessa. And I was like, oh, yeah, right, yeah, they're living there. You're exactly right. Do you have their address? And my mother said, of course I do. I have them on my Christmas card list. Looks it up. Here you go. 14 Christopher Street, Greenwich Village, New York. And at that point, when I was 18 years old, the penny dropped. That's when I figured out they were lesbians. They had lived in the same apartment on Christopher Street since 1929.
Wow.
And at that point, it's like, oh, do you think? But the other message, which might have been subtly absorbed by me, was that my parents were totally okay with queer folk. with lesbians.
What about the men? Because there's a real difference. Like that group of queers in Fredericton, they were men and they were perverts. But there was never, I'm sure, like, I don't know, there were women, but they never would have been.
I don't think, there was no mention of men in our village, I'm sure. When I moved to Bridgewater, there was a old gay guy who lived in a mansion between the school and the town, and it was always like, you know, watch out when you're walking by Mr. Ralph's place, because you never know, he might come out and, of course, what might happen was never mentioned. It was just in a, it left your imagination.
Mm. Yeah, but it was something bad.
Well, except for me, for a little gay kid, it's like, gee, I wonder what happens to people that do encounter Mr. Ralph. I never did. He never came out of his house. He may not have ever been there. The whole thing might have been completely made up. Mm. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, because also it's a way to burn people's reputation. Like, and it was always an insult. And, yeah, it was not a good thing. I know, sure, so just starting rumor was enough.
I know that on my mother's side of the family, there was never any issues, really. And it was on her mother's side because her cousin, when my mother was not even born, her husband had passed away and she had 4 children. And there was a man in the community that everybody knew was queer. Everybody knew, and I don't know, but he was a gay man. And everybody knew about it, but it was never said out loud. No one spoke about it. And he stepped in and he was like, "Will you be my wife?" And now looking back, it seems like everyone knew what was going on, and they were very aware of what was going on. And he, because she was like, "What do I do? Where do I live? I can't afford this home," he said, "How about you and your family move into my home, and you'll be my wife?" And they had a lavender wedding, and they had...
Aww.
And it seemed like he was very, very good to her, and everybody was so thankful, because what else was going to happen to her? She would have been... God knows where she would have went. God knows what would have happened. No one else had the money, and he had the money. He wasn't married. And he said, "How about you and your family move in, and you'll be my wife?" And so I think that really turned the tides of... I think that really impacted the way that my mother grew up. I don't think that they ever saw it as bad, because it was always like, we know that uncle, I think it was Tony, we know that he's, he's really good. Everybody loves him. He's really good to us, and he took the kids in. So I think that really impacted it, because my father's family and, like, grandfather's side was very different, but my grandmother is like, it was just never a thing that was a concern. It was always like, okay, you need to be nice to gay men, you need to be nice to gay women. Mm. And she might have been a lesbian too now, looking back, but
yeah,
that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
I think everybody in that community would have like a different opinion because it was so.
Because then all lesbians were masculine and all. Mm-hmm. All gay men were effeminate. Mm-hmm. And so funny, because I watched this podcast that I've really been enjoying, with Bulwark, to the American election, and one of the, well, I think they're all gay. I don't know. And I keep wanting to say, yeah, but they don't look gay. Like, he really doesn't. He doesn't look gay. Oh, just for girls. But apart from that, but there's, I was seeing to need to, you know, like, distinguish that from, I don't know, real gay. Yeah. Nothing effeminate about this one.
Yeah. Lesbians, they always, especially when it came to drinking, I know that they tried to out-drink the men, but sometimes, because I had 3 good friends, and I said, yeah, one just passed away recently. He said, "Ginger, I know you're from Cape Breton, but you should sure put it away." I said, "Well, that's gay bread." And we were very good friends. Three of them. I met one that was Miss Moncton. She got a little uppity, and I just told her where to go. I was sitting there, and this is where I'm sitting. Goodbye. Before the night was over, we were the best of friends. We were half in the bag, but that's another story.
So, Ginger, your story. When you were a kid, who?
Well, my parents never talked about homosexuals.
Right.
They talked about the bootleggers.
Right. We all
when they came down.
So even when you were in junior high or high, there was no known...
No, I was in Halifax then. No,
okay.
No.
Oh, that's interesting.
My mother asked me, and I told her I was gay. She was fine with it. My father wasn't at first, but she told him. She said, "Well, that's your son," or whatever you want to call him. "But don't be rude to him, because if you are, you're taking your suitcase and out the door you go."
Wow.
Mm. Yeah, my mom was my mother, but she was like my friend, and wow, my sister too. Because when we go shopping, we didn't know what time we were getting home.
Have you thought of anything, or do you want to wrap it up?
Oh, I don't need to wrap it up. I think what comes to mind mostly is that one of my dearest friends in high school, we were driving in the car. I'm Kate Bretner too. Yeah. But and she was trying to tell me, but wasn't telling me. Or she didn't know how to, in hindsight.
Right.
She was trying to tell me about herself and that she was a lesbian, and I didn't hear her. I didn't understand what she was trying to say. And after high school, we didn't stay connected. And I always wonder if it's because I question myself. Did I not hear her? Did she not say it the way I needed to hear it? Or did I just not hear her for whatever reason?
Right.
And I still think about that, you know, if I see something on social media about her and whatever, and I always feel like I really let her down by not.
Yep, that's a little ghost that's following you around.
Yeah, always is. And I wonder whether, I've often thought, you know, now that it's like 35, 40 years later, do I reach out and say, I'm sorry, I think you were trying to tell me that day and I didn't get it.
Yeah, you didn't get it, exactly.
Right, because maybe, because she needed to hit me over the head with it, but maybe I had a block that couldn't hear it.
Really great story. And yeah. I think all of us have been on one side of that conversation or another sometime in our life.
I wish I knew then what I know now to have been able to maybe ask a different question or to be able just to say, I get it, but I didn't get it. Uh-huh. But what was it about me that didn't get it? Yeah.
Well, thank you all very much. This has been, I didn't know, as I said, this is the first time I've tried this around the table topic. Man, works pretty
great.
Good.
Yeah,
works pretty
wonderful,
good.
Wonderful, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're all sober.
Speak for yourself.
Two glasses of wine a day, you're allowed.